Hello, I'm Eric Gould with your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, April 13th. This is from Capitol coverage. Governor Jared Polis highlighted the state's efforts to build makeshift hospitals during the coronavirus crisis. KVNF's Scott Franz has more.
In a normal April, the Colorado Convention Center in downtown Denver hosts car shows and business conferences, but construction crews are busy adding hundreds of hospital beds to care for a possible surge of COVID-19 patients. Polis says it will be ready in about 2 weeks.
I really hope that we don't have to use this facility at all. I really hope that. And it's also very unlikely that it'll be used in a large way. But looking at the numbers, it's certainly possible that there will need to be hundreds of patients here or dozens of patients here.
Polis says the beds are for patients who no longer need critical care but still aren't healthy enough to return home. The state is also setting up an overflow facility at the ranch in Loveland to care for as many as 1,000 patients. I'm Scott Franz in Denver.
Americans have faced world wars, economic recessions, and even other pandemics. Some people have lived through all three. In this story, the Mountain West News Bureau's Noah Glick checks in with seniors to see how the COVID-19 pandemic compares to other crises and what we might be able to learn.
Kay David was born in 1930, just months after Black Tuesday kicked off the Great Depression. He's in Reno, Nevada now, but he grew up back east.
I didn't know any of the numbers then, but the economy created an unemployment rate of 25% or higher. And in the neighborhood that I grew up in, Brooklyn, New York, it was probably much higher than that, possibly even double. My father was unemployed. And my mother, not wanting us to be thrown out on the street or failing to get one good meal a day, managed to get hired on various positions, starting with the census, interestingly enough.
Those positions were funded by the Works Progress Administration. That was an employment and infrastructure program set up by then-President Franklin Roosevelt to address the economic crash. But if the mass unemployment wasn't enough, there was also something else lurking in neighborhoods: polio.
I can recall my mother saying, "Don't play in the gutter." She knew something about people getting sick, and I did know one person. In fact, he was one of my best friends during a certain period of my life in junior high school.
We had one cousin that had to go on the iron lung, and someone had to operate that all the time.
That's Mel McVeigh. She says her cousin was cared for at home, and she remembers community members coming by to help monitor the machine that was keeping him alive.
There was a lot of panic with polio because they didn't know how it was transferred or transmitted from person to person.
McVeigh is 76 now and has several health issues. She's got diabetes and hypertension, and she's on dialysis. That makes her particularly vulnerable to COVID-19 complications. But in times like these, she does what she's always done: lean heavily on her faith as a Jehovah's Witness. She says right now everyone should reach out to family and friends. She says we all need love and compassion to get through these uncertain times.
If you have a relative that is isolated, get in touch with them. Talk to them. Tell them, you know, that you remember them and that they are important.
Relatives are important to Faye Benninghove. The 73-year-old widow lives alone, but her family does her grocery shopping for her. She says she can't compare what's happening now to anything she's lived through.
I just feel people don't feel any control over the issue and truly don't know what to do and what's the right thing to do.
Benninghove is a double amputee, wheelchair bound, and has asthma. And her plan for now?
So I guess I'm just so used to plowing forward, I don't know anything else, and I just want to keep on going.
But she does worry about what lies ahead.
What is it going to do to the services that are provided for us? Will that change? Will we get less services? Because it does seem like when something like this happens, the seniors are cut off first from things. I feel like sometimes that they feel like the seniors are expendable. You've lived your life, so if you go, oh well.
To get through this fear, Benninghove relies on family, her pets, and her faith. For Kay David, he keeps himself busy by walking. Before all this, he was walking 2 to 3 miles a day at age 90.
And only very recently have I cut that down to about 1.5 miles.
That's mostly because he's not walking to the grocery store anymore, instead opting for neighborhood strolls. While that can be frustrating, David admits it's also a little friendlier these days.
People that I know are asking me on the street if I want them to pick up some groceries for me. That wouldn't have occurred a year ago.
So if you're out making supply runs, maybe check in with an older family member or neighbor first. Having lived through past crises, they might also be able to show you how to deal with this one. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Noah Glick.
And this story came to us from the Mountain West News Bureau, a partnership between public media stations from around the region. Next, here's KVNF's Jody Peterson with a news update.
On April 10th, the Bureau of Land Management released the final version of its plan for public land management across nearly 1.7 million acres of western Colorado. The Yonkopaugre Resource Management Plan will guide fossil fuel extraction, recreation, and other uses on BLM-managed lands in Montrose, Delta, Gunnison, Ouray, San Miguel, and Mesa counties. The BLM's notice about the plan says that it is a slightly modified version of the preferred management alternative it proposed last summer. That alternative, however, is significantly different from what Colorado BLM officials had earlier indicated was their preferred option. The new alternative reduces restrictions on oil and gas leasing and development and reduces environmental protections. The management plan could result in a 2,300% increase in greenhouse gas pollution in the region over the next decade, according to Paonia-based Citizens for a Healthy Community, while Colorado law calls for cutting greenhouse gas pollution in half by 2030. Conservation groups are asking the BLM to redo its environmental study for the management plan and to recommend no new oil and gas leasing. Industry proponents say that the plan does not open any new acreage to oil and natural gas development, and that it does include some modifications requested by Governor Jared Polis to protect big game and the endangered Gunnison sage-grouse. Across Colorado, snowpack looks about average for this time of year. The Natural Resources Conservation Service reports that southern Colorado has below normal snowpack, while snowpack in the northern part of the state is above normal. The Gunnison Basin and the combined San Miguel, Dolores, Animas, and San Juan basins contain about 90% of the typical snowpack. The Colorado River Basin is at 104% of normal snowpack. This is KVNF News.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, April 13th. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.